Spirit Radio Podcasts.
Let's often discuss the challenges that is facing our world today when we think about global warming and climate change. But are we actually really and truly taking it seriously? Are we really thinking about taking responsibility, not only for us, but I mean, for future generations? This is the beautiful planet that God created for us. But are we taking our responsibility to care for it serious enough? Many would say no. On the line to tell us more about her new book, which is trying to address this, the book is called Climate Generation: Awakening to Our Children's Future. We've author and environmentalist Dr. Lorna Gould. Good morning, Lorna. How are you?
I'm good. How are you this morning?
Well, Lorna, why did you decide to put this book together? Were you thinking of your own children and their future?
Yeah, Wendy, as you know, I've been working on climate change for many, many years. I've been involved in trying to get the government to change policies, working at an international level on this. And I was really struck when I became a mum myself and I was spending a bit more time at home, time in the playground with other parents, that the disconnect that exists at the moment between what we're trying to ask governments to do and maybe what we're doing in our daily lives. And also, I guess, a growing sense that maybe some of the mums and dads and grandparents that I was meeting on a daily basis don't really understand the urgency of the issue and like what it really is going to mean for the next generation, for our own children.
Are we in a bit of denial about it almost?
Yeah, I think there is a bit of denial. I mean, we all see the changes in the weather now. We see these hurricanes and they're becoming more frequent. We see the warmest summer on record here and the drought. So we're kind of waking up a little bit to this as a reality. But I think that, as I say in the book, it's almost like Pandora's box. Once you open that, you know you have to do something. So we're all a little bit in denial about the changes that we maybe have to make, and really what it might mean for us on a personal level.
In terms of, I suppose, the key message you're trying to get across, and I know just in the early pages of the book, you have a lovely quote from Pope Francis saying, leaving an inhabitable planet to future generations is first and foremost up to us. And of course, lots of discussions, as you touched on, Lorna, is, you know, it's based on government's responsibility and, you know, big climate agreements and all that sort of stuff. But the other part of the picture is us as individuals. Do you think that we kind of underestimate how important individual action and therefore then collectively as communities that we can make a difference?
I think we probably do. I mean, I think one of the things that I really explore in the book is that connection between what we can do personally and what we're asking our governments to do. So, I mean, we really need to be doing a lot of things on an individual level. And I think we all deep down know what those are. Yeah. We're kind of sent those messages every day. We need to be changing to renewable energy. We need to be insulating our homes. We need to be eating less meat. We need to be flying a lot less, and that's a really, really tough one. We need to be using more electric vehicles. So all those things we already know we need to get round to doing those, and they're really important. But in the book, I talk a lot more about what we need to do collectively. We need to understand the seriousness of the issue, but also that there are many solutions that, and that each of us in our communities can do a lot to make change. So at a community level, we need to be looking at how we can come together, how we can change the way our communities act together. For example, there's many things at a local level we can do to promote greater awareness of climate change and build more resilient communities. Some places are already doing this. I work quite closely with the Transition Towns movement, which are a movement that started to look at how our communities can transition towards a sustainable, low-carbon future. And they've found many initiatives that can be done at a local level. It means getting involved in local community action, and also many times getting involved in political action as well.
One of the things that you touch on in the book, Lorna, is how doing a geography project when you're at the tender age of 14 kind of opened your eyes a bit. How important is it as parents to really try to educate our children from the very beginning about looking after our planet? And obviously part of that education piece is us being the role models ourselves.
Obviously, it's very important. I mean, in that passage in the book, I'm talking about my childhood and about growing up in the shadow of an oil refinery. So I grew up in Scotland, you'll hear from the accent, and we were only a few miles from this oil refinery. So there was, at night time sometimes, there was this orange glow in the sky. And my natural curiosity was to ask, why is that happening? And then going on and doing a geography project and understanding about global warming. I mean, this is back in the 1980s. It wasn't rocket science. And one of the things, Wendy, that I find is that my own children, my oldest boy is nearly nine, he knows a lot about this issue and he knows a lot about the planet. Our children are getting this through their school, through the Green Schools programme. They all raise the green flag. They learn about recycling. I think the challenge really is for us adults. You talk about educating our children. Maybe it's about showing example and also listening to our children on what they know about this topic, giving them the space to talk to us about it. And also, I think it's about really us showing a good example. I think that one of the things that was said to me when I was growing up, because I became quite a campaigner on these issues from an early age, was that, oh, the young people save the world. The young people have the enthusiasm, the energy. And I have to say nowadays, being in my mid-40s and working on this issue, young people, yes, they certainly will help us to. They have energy, idealism, and they will be the future and help us to solve this issue. But you know what? At this stage in the game, there is so little time left in terms of climate change and the urgency of this challenge. We adults need to take responsibility. And that's one of the big challenges today. We don't have time to wait until the next generation come up and become leaders and embody all these changed values. We actually need to examine our own lives. And that part of the process of writing this book has been a really close examination for me of what I'm doing and how I can try and make a difference in my own life and community around this issue.
Lorna, do you think people really grasp the impact in particular that climate change is having on some of the poorest countries in the world? I mean, you have gone all over the world really seeing the impacts, talking to many people. Tell us a little bit about this side of the issue.
I think one of the things that strikes me even now is that we can still talk about climate change in the future tense, as if it's something that's coming down the road. Our climate has changed. It's 1 degree on average warmer across the world. That might not sound like an awful lot, but for every degree of warming, think of the globally, think of the amount of warmer air, think of the amount of energy that's in the atmosphere and the amount of rain and wind that generates. Last week, we had 7 active storms in different oceans across the world. And that's the first time that has actually been recorded, that you could map the 7 active serious storms across the world. And we can see the impact that that's having. I work for TROCRA, and we've seen for many years how that's affecting communities, because it's changing the rainfall patterns. So if you depend on rainfall for your agriculture, it has a basic effect, which is you don't know when to plant and when to sow. And if that's your only income or your only source of food, that logically then means there is less food. And then we have situations like in the Horn of Africa now, where millions of people are facing hunger again. And those people, many of them, will be forced to move, to migrate, to become refugees in order to make a living. So that's just one of the impacts. The other impacts of storms, such as the typhoon that we've seen that's hit the Philippines just this week, where many decades of development work, this is the tragedy for me of the situation, many decades of development work to help to lift people out of poverty, are being reversed through climate change. So there's a real onus on us, if we really care about the injustices in the world, to transform our economic system, to transform our societies towards low emissions, lower emissions, low carbon futures.
when you talk about that, when you talk about kind of examples, Lauren, of places like the Philippines, there can be a danger when it comes to many of these disasters, whether it's a flooding or hurricanes, that people and their lives and the impact can kind of become just statistics. And in that way, we become almost desensitized a little bit into the impacts that climate change is having.
Exactly. And I think that's really what this book's trying to address, is trying to bring it right home to us that this is something personal. Climate change isn't a remote issue, certainly not for me anymore. It's become something deeply personal in the sense that it's something that affects me and is going to affect our children, but also those other people. When you get to know those other people and you get to call them by name, you realise that really, especially as Christians, these are our brothers and sisters. If I can tell you just one story, which was really an eye-opener to me, was a couple of years ago going to the UN for a climate summit. And I had the occasion, the opportunity there to meet an ambassador from a tiny little Pacific island called Nauru. And I met her with a delegation from the Vatican. And we went to visit her in our little consulate, a tiny little, it was like literally two rooms in a skyscraper. And this beautiful picture behind of this little island surrounded by ocean. And the ambassador who spoke to us there talked to us about the fact that her people are now having to make plans to leave their island because the sea levels have risen to a point that life is no longer sustainable on their island. And she'd just come from a high-level panel at the UN, a big meeting at the UN, where she was speaking alongside representatives from other rich Western countries. And one of them had the audacity to turn around and call and ask her, "So what are you going to do when your island disappears?" And it was truly shocking to me and to the others when we met this ambassador, that level of people feeling removed from the impacts of climate change exists in our world today. Because this situation, so Nauru is just one tiny island, but all across the Pacific Ocean, these islands are basically disappearing into the ocean as we speak. And the cultures, it's like a cultural genocide as well, because all those beautiful South Pacific cultures will go into the ocean with those islands. And those people are having to make decisions. They're not recognised as refugees. And yet they're having to say, will we go to New Zealand? Will we go to another? Which countries are going to allow us to live, to build new communities? Well, so this issue is so real. It's something that affects people now and is going to have a significant effect on our children and future generations.
Lorna, what do you hope, just finally, that people would take away with them from reading your book?
I hope they take away two things. I think, first of all, that this is real. It's happening. We can't deny it any longer. And that it's going to have an impact on our children. And then I also hope that people can take away a message of hope, because there's a lot of despair out there about climate change. And I think that we can't afford to despair. To despair that we can do anything about climate change is to despair in the future of our children. So I, for one, I'm not prepared to do that. I'll fight and I'll do everything in my power to protect our children's future. And that's the message I want children people to take away, that we can do a lot. We can do a lot for the future.
Dr. Lorna Gill, thank you so much for joining us on the programme today, and congratulations to you on your book. It's called Awakening Our Children's Future, and you can get the book in Veritas. You can get it in their stores or online at veritasbooksonline.com.
Thanks for listening to our Spirit Radio podcast. Don't miss out. Subscribe today. Find out how at spiritradio.ie.